Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Happy to have you along. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the broadcast for May 13th in the year of our Lord, 2022, hour two of two. May 13th, Friday the 13th. Glad I'm not superstitious. God, family, and country, the protection of life, liberty, and property, and the traditions of our founding fathers, using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's how we roll, and I don't care if it's Friday or not, God still loves me. And I don't care if it's the 13th or not, God still loves me. And he cares for me. And if I keep his commandments, he will bless me. And if I turn my back on God, I'm on my own, and the consequences shall follow. That's a reality check for Friday the 13th, and welcome to the broadcast. For me, it's a freedom-loving, faith-filled, fantastic Friday, and would like to welcome the good doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley, to the broadcast. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, to preserve the nation, his collegiate series and lifelong goal. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you guys back and being able to get together and have a little visit this morning. You kind of miss your little get-togethers that kind of are hinge points, if you will, in your week. And
amen, so sir.
We're happy about that.
Now, are you going to go back to bed because it's Friday and you're superstitious? Yeah. It's the 13th, and are you going to, you know? We don't believe in that garbage, do we?
Well, no, but it's interesting, you know. If I've always looked, and again, I'm not superstitious, but I always say, well, you know, yeah, 13's my lucky number. And I say, well, you say, why? I say, well, that's the day I was born. Not today, but I was born on the 13th. So
yeah, not last night neither, huh, Doctor?
No, I wasn't born yesterday. But today's another day, and it's good for a topic of conversation, but I don't suspect it's going to make a whole lot of difference in how, you know, the day goes based upon some superstitious, you know, what was it? Some of the Knights Templar were put to death by judicial execution. I think that's what the
Is
associated with it.
Yeah, see, it's just crazy town, folks. Now, listen to me. I also want to highlight this, too, because I don't believe in these things. I believe these things are secular. I believe these things are fearful. They're not of God, and that's why I spend a little bit of time on them, folks, because I want to point you to God Almighty, and he is not a God of fear. He is not a God of well, golly, you woke up on the wrong day. It's going to go bad for you. Okay, he isn't that kind of a God. He's truly not this unknown, confusing figure that you can't know anything about. He's your Father in heaven. You are literally, according to the Bible, the offspring of God Almighty. You're his children. Okay, he made you in his image. Male and female created them. We cannot lose sight of this understanding. He's not some nebulous being out there that's beyond comprehension. I know God's ways are not our ways, and I know he's, I don't speak for God or anything like that, but I'm saying he is an understandable being. We can pray to him. We can learn of him. We can become like him. We can, all these things are possible because we are his children. And so I want to just dispel this false notion of bad luck or superstition or this idea that we can't know our God or our author, our creator, our father. We need to understand these terms because it's critical to understanding our godly heritage, Doctor. There's a reason for this discussion that's beyond just this superstitious kind of an idea.
Well, today's world is kind of, I mean, things are spinning out of control in so many ways in today's world. And so maybe my analogy is not as well-founded today as it might have been 50, 70 years ago. But, think of a loving father. That would do anything to care for his family, would work at a crappy job to make sure they had food on the table and the roof over their heads, would protect them from the evil of the day and make certain that there was no threats against them and so on and so forth. You know, that's my image. I'm not so sure it's always the case today. I think fathers and mothers in so many ways because of so many reasons. I mean, the education so-called system, the media, the political environment, all of those kinds of things have kind of greatly threatened and undermined the historical, traditional, and, in my mind, divine roles of fathers and mothers, but I do think that God in heaven is the exemplar that we might look to as what a father should be in regards to that caring, loving, supportive, you know, that being there when you're needed, when he's needed. And like I say, it's not so much today in mortal society, but I think we could go back to that historical, traditional, divine role. And I think we'd be a lot better off as a society. And so
heard that.
Yeah, that's how I look what father is to me, rather than what, you know, the sitcoms, they call them, those little stupid, idiotic TV shows that basically have denigrated fathers on earth to the point that they're considered almost to be a burden to the family. You know, that lump of flesh that sits on the couch in a groove that's there for the only purpose of watching some sports game and throwing popcorn around or some stupid idiot thing. It is so astounding to me that's kind of what's been bred into this generation for the last 50 years with all of these sitcoms. And mothers have taken on an entirely different role from what they have been historically and traditionally about how the nurturers, the caregivers, you know. So many things happen today where the kid is basically an afterthought, gets dropped off at a daycare center, while mom goes off to be a bank vice president or some silly thing. And dad maybe just kind of gets by because, you know, the whole society's upside down in the way they allow people to work in society. It's
well, dad is not a derelict buffoon. No. The fatherhood responsibility is a serious one. Our Father in heaven loves us, and I don't believe in this superstition. In fact, it goes so far, Doctor, when you go to a hotel, they don't have a floor 13, you know.
Well,
it goes from floor 12 to floor 14. But I went up to the receptionist, and she thought I was an idiot, but nevertheless, it was an interesting exchange. I said, how come you guys pretend you don't have a floor 13? She goes, well, we're not pretending there's not a floor 13. I said, so let me get this straight. When you go from floor 12, then there's this big 20-foot expanse, you know, double what a normal story would be, of nothingness before 14, right? She goes, well, no, it's just the next floor, but it's 14. It's not 13. So I said, you mislabeled it, right? She said, no, we don't have a floor 13, sir. I said, oh, hold on, I'm not very smart. You got to kind of back up with me. So you're telling me that you've got double the space between floor 12 and floor 14, where 13 would be, but there's just nothingness there, correct? Well, no, sir, that'd be a waste of space. Okay. So is 13 14? No, sir, we don't have a floor 13. Okay. Oh, hold on now. What do you say to that, doctor?
Well, you know, it's one of those things you really, it's an enigma to society. But
so hold on, can we jettison bad luck by getting rid of 13 by lie? Because it's really there. 13 is really 14, sir. Or 14 is really 13, I should say.
Many years ago.
Are we going to get away from bad luck with a lie?
Well, there is no such thing that we need to worry about. But I used to kind of, when we'd be going up to high-rise hotels for business or hotels or whatever, as I got off on my floor and I'd see people with the button pushed for 14, I'd just look at them and say, you know, you're really getting off on 13. And then get off the elevator. I mean, I don't know, but I can't imagine. I cannot imagine that is how people live their lives and drive their experience in this life. But maybe
some
do. Yeah,
for sure. And my whole goal is to absolutely reject and debunk this dishonest, false, psychotic notion. Look, folks, if you don't have a God to look to, an author of your liberty, a creator, if you don't have a true Father in heaven, an organizer of the universe, okay, if you don't have that and you're just on your own bumbling through this thing and whatever, okay, this is where, in my opinion, most people kind of melt down because they lose that incredible tie to godly heritage. And they lose that tie then to family. Family is a fundamental unit of society created by God Almighty. He created them as male and female, sons and daughters, true children of God. And as a result, then, we have this incredible godly creation and godly origin and godly heritage. And as the founders taught and literally gave their sacred honors and fortunes, and they died for this, and this notion that we don't need to look to some government or just bumble on our own and fight for our very existence. We can turn to God. We can keep his commandments, and he's put those guardrails in place to protect us, not to punish us. And we can turn to him, and we can feel love and feel his spirit. He can guide our day-to-day lives and our actions. He can give us revelation and understanding of what we ought to do on a daily basis. He can provide comfort and strength and guidance and protection. And I mean, I can keep going on, doctor, but I'm trying to paint this picture to where people understand. When you lose that tether, no wonder everybody's all depressed and suicidal and running around confused and gender confused, and everybody doesn't know where to go. And, oh my gosh, avoid floor 13 while I go to the casino and spend myself into oblivion because it's all coming down on me. There, you know, Joe's a goofball, or Joe's the savior, and Donald's the goofball. And they just run around. We're always looking for knowledge and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We're never focusing on saving truths. Reality as it really is, doctor.
The theory of today is a chaos theory, and it's promoted from the time children enter the public indoctrination centers. There's this idea, the Big Bang that happened. Well, it sounds like we got to take a break. Maybe we can.
Yeah, I got a theory on the Big Bang that you might find kind of funny. We'll talk about that coming up. We're just opening up, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to talk about. Sam was in Mount Vernon. I want to talk about George Washington, the father of our country, too. We'll get there. We'll do it all in seconds with the good Dr. Scott Bradley, his collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation, available at freedomsrisingsun.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, his lifelong goal and collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation. We're talking about God. We're talking about fathers. We're talking about things that matter. We're talking about this idea of... Oh, man, you better get back in bed, by golly. Don't walk under a ladder because, wow, it's Friday the 13th, lies. Okay, look, I am one of my kind of claims to fame, Dr. Bradley, is that I take a subject that everybody's kind of like, what? Why would you even waste your time talking about this? And I do my best to turn it into reality checks, discussions that matter. In other words, the greater deep discussions. You know, it's not about whether you feel lucky or not. It's not about this, you know, man, are you... concerned, or you whatever word you're looking for, about there's an origin, there's a desire in your heart and understanding that there is something greater than us. And I submit that's God. And that God figure, our Father in heaven, loves us. We're not in a God winds it up and lets it go and walks away discussion, deist ideas. We're not in a, by golly, it's bad luck. It's horrible. It's going down discussion. Okay. We need to understand who we are, doctor, if we're ever going to have the ability to rise to the level of our heritage, of our opportunity. I don't know if I should say our privilege, but rise to the level of our capability, the fullness of our creation, if you will. You got to have an understanding or you'll never get there, doctor.
Well, you've got to have a goal, and if your goal is in the mud, you're not going to go much higher than that. I, as we were saying just before the break, the Founding Fathers' perspective, it was a perspective of order, perspective of a creator, and we talk about this often. As the Renaissance occurred, telescopes were invented and microscopes and so on, and the human naked eye was able to behold things that had eluded it up to that point. And what they found as they looked through those telescopes and microscopes was order. They saw a process that spoke of a creator, because things just don't happen by, you know, chaotic bumping into each other, which they promote and seek to make kind of our thought process. By the way, I believe that that's one of the reasons that so many children today are horrifically depressed. Of course, it's been generational now, and you see really, truly mothers and fathers that are on some kind of somatic-type drug that's altering their psyche, if you will, their feelings, or they become kind of numb to their surroundings because they don't want to have to deal with the despair and all that is fed to them constantly. And they have overlooked the great goodness of all of God's creations. And that's what was the genesis, if you will, of the founding of this nation, when the idea was that there's order in the universe. It's done by design. There is a motivational force, a creative force out there that really is in charge. And when they saw that in nature, you know, whether it's the stars and their movements in the skies or the planets or the, you know, the amoeba that seem to be out there, there is a process that indicates that it was created. And so when they saw it in nature, they decided, well, maybe if God has created order, has had a hand in all of this, maybe there's a plan for humanity. And they started looking for that. Where do they look? They look in the scriptures. And they found the basis of liberty. And you know, their society is founded upon an order of things. When the Savior was in his hometown not long after his baptism and experience in the desert, he introduced himself to his hometown people. He brought out, well, they brought him this 61st chapter of Isaiah. He read that and said, this is happening now, folks. I'm this guy. And so, you know, order, and he was bringing liberty to the captive and those that had been injured. Those kind of things started coming out of the scriptures, and they said, well, maybe we can order a society around those kind of concepts. And, you know, the basis of the Ten Commandments, I mean, society, the wheels would fall off if the Ten Commandments weren't lived. We've talked about that old movie, The Answer, that was back in the 50s with, what was his name, David Niven. Anyway, the answer really is found in those foundational things that are in the scriptures. And that basis was how they came forth in discussing how society ought to be ordered. Out of that grew the United States. I know it's a big leap to say that, but this is a short radio program. But out of that came the United States, the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, while we abided by those principles. We've strayed from them. The humanist perspective in the indoctrination centers that's being taught to our children and has been for generations. I mean, I was raised in it, and my parents were raised in it. It wasn't nearly as strong in my parents' view back in the 30s when they were in school, But there's it has been basically tamped down our throat so far, so long, that the society, I look at little children. There was a little girl at church the other day, probably 17, 18 years old, just in despair. I'm worried for her, even her existence. She seemed as though she was ready to give up. But that's what we teach each other nowadays in these indoctrination centers. Not the glory of God, not the beauty of his creations, not the purpose of our being, but rather, oh, yeah, you... People just bump into each other, and we've talked about, I don't know if I want to get off on this tangent right now, but a tornado in a junkyard, James Pirlof, and the idea was that with these evolutionists, the idea is a big tornado whoops through a junkyard, and out of it comes a fully functioning, fully assembled 747.
That's not how it works. Preposterous.
That's not how it works. It really, truly isn't. And if you get that Perloff's book, Tornado in a Junkyard, the last couple of paragraphs in it are worth the purchase price of the book alone. But the grotesque mutations that we try and base everything in society off of are simply fabrications of those that have denied God. And there is a God in heaven. The God did create this earth, and there is a purpose for all of mankind, and discovering that purpose is one of the exciting things of this life. My father passed this week, and we're having a viewing tonight, and I'm speaking at the funeral tomorrow. And that empty shell that's left was not what my dad is or was, and what he was as he took his last breaths. I mean, it's absolutely astounding, the feeling of hopelessness that I think many people have today. When it's over, it's done. There's no more. But the eternal spirit of mankind does live on. This is a transitional period in this life. It's a time for us to gain experience and knowledge and understanding and demonstrate our character and all those kinds of things that ultimately and finally, when it's all said and done and the glorious purposes are unfolded, I think there's a vast majority of the people today who are going to be absolutely astounded at what our potential was during this mortal existence and continues to be throughout all the eternities. So, yeah, it's a time of
hopefulness. Leave it to Sam Bushman to turn Friday the 13th into that dissertation, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right, now I want to talk about the father of our country in relation to this, because you know what? I don't believe in coincidences, Doctor. And George Washington, a Humboldt farmer, I went to Mount Vernon earlier this week. And so it was Sam from Mount Vernon, and I recorded a couple of thoughts that I had while standing at George Washington's tomb. And the question came to me, George Washington, was he the greatest leader of all time? Now, I know we got to not count the Savior Jesus Christ, because he stands alone. We don't worship men, George Washington, either. We do worship Jesus Christ. So I want to separate that. I'm talking about mere mortal men here. But was George Washington the greatest leader of all time? Are there leaders as great as a George Washington? A man who literally was, hey, you can be king, buddy. No thanks. You know what? You can go back to your farm. I know. I'd love to, but I can't. There's a duty greater than myself. You know, everybody's mutinying and leaving your army to fight for liberty. I know, but I'm going to pray hard, and I'm going to work hard, and my wife's going to come and be by my side, and we're going to just rally for this, because the cause is so sacred, so important. He was laser-like focused on that, and he did a duty beyond human capabilities, I believe, because he was protected by and carried forward by God Almighty. 'Twas no accident, is what I would tell you, my fellow Americans. When we get back, we'll let the good doctor rock and roll on this topic, because I think it's relevant when we speak of fathers. And we speak of, there are no accidents, ladies and gentlemen. There are no coincidences. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
There's a plot twist on Elon Musk's bid to buy Twitter. The world's richest man tweeting this morning his highly publicized plan to purchase Twitter was temporarily on hold over a report of fake accounts on the social media platform. Same story, different day as gas prices continue to rise.
AAA reports the national average price for regular jumped 2 cents from Thursday to $4.43 a gallon. That's the highest price ever for the fourth day in a row. At $3.95 a gallon, Georgia has the lowest statewide average and is only one of three states below $4 per gallon. At the high end, California is now up to $5.87 a gallon, the most expensive in America.
Katie Lewis reporting from the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Folks in Minnesota are cleaning up after a storm brought dangerously strong winds to the Midwest and inflicted heavy damage in the state. Stevens County, Minnesota Sheriff Jason Dingham describes what he saw to Fox TV affiliate KMSP in Minneapolis.
I drove right into the middle of it, and it was hurricane force winds. It seemed to be straight line winds. I watched metal sheds being blown through fields. It was crazy.
Earlier this week, a storm-chasing meteorologist died in a crash that authorities say was caused by downed power lines on Interstate 90 in southwest Minnesota. California regulators are rejecting a billion-dollar plant that would turn ocean water to drinking water. Governor Gavin Newsom threw his support behind the $1.4 billion plant in Huntington Beach. It would have created drinking water for an estimated 400,000 people. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is indeed order in the universe. Our founders knew it. Question, do you? We're talking to Dr. Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation, his collegiate series and lifelong goal. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. We're talking about fathers. We're talking about George Washington, the father of our nation. And in Dr. Bradley's book, in chapter 15, he really digs deep when it comes to this. Ladies and gentlemen, in the traditions of our founding fathers, he explains who really was this person. And I ask, was George Washington the greatest leader of all time? Fair question, huh, Doctor?
Well, I think it is. I think humans, by nature, tend to look for the superlative. You know, the highest mountain, the deepest part of the ocean, the smartest person, whatever. And I'm not, I don't know as I can definitively state George Washington was the leader of all leaders. I know, of course, where the Savior was our pure and true and most wonderful exemplar on that thing, but certainly George Washington was the essential man. He was the indispensable man. The title of my chapter 15 in my book, To Preserve the Nation, is George Washington, the Elegant Exercise of Power, a Study in the Rare, Pure Exercise of Mortal Authority. And truly, I believe he was a superlative in that matter. I mean, this man truly deserved the title. I know the father of the country, I believe, is Jesus Christ, but But in terms of mortal involvement, he was this indispensable man that God raised up at that time to be able to carry forth the necessity. If he hadn't been at Valley Forge, if he hadn't been at the Constitution Convention, if he hadn't been there at the head of the nation in terms of the first president to set the standard, I shudder to think of what would have happened. The nation, you know, you got these hinge points in all sorts of life's experiences, and George Washington certainly was at so many of those hinge points that we just can't discount it. And I know there are many that denigrate him today. And in fact, I don't know, Sam, if you remember when it was probably about 6-7 years ago, where you and I were at Mount Vernon. You kind of retraced those steps, I guess, this past week. But that's Mount Vernon is one of my favorite places in the Washington D.C. area. I mean, I don't know if you remember sitting on the veranda.
I remember quite well, my friend.
And the rainstorms we had and everything. I mean, it's a time
it's incredible.
Of contemplative review. So, like I say, there is kind of a feeling there, if you allow it to settle upon you, about here was greatness. And you talk about him being a humble farmer. Well, I think he owned 15 or 18,000 acres, but you know what? He earned those things starting as a young boy as a surveyor. I mean, and he performed faithful, honest work for people surveying their land. I mean, from his very youth as a young militia officer and the, you know, Braddock's march to death, if you will, during the French and Indian War. His leadership, every step of the way, there was a kind of a point of father put his hand upon him and gave him an opportunity to learn and grow. And over that, character developed. And he could get mad. He could give everybody a Scots blessing, so to speak, you know. But the fact was, he was dedicated, devoted, and faithful in that thing. If people have not read his farewell address recently, I would implore you, take the time today. It's, you know, maybe a dozen pages. It depends on the font it's in. But maybe a dozen pages. And there are so many incredible topics that are talked about in that. Had we been willing to follow that fatherly advice, if you will, that he gave the nation as he was departing the scene of leadership, we'd be a different nation today. And much of it was followed for years. But back in the 30s and 40s, when the humanists took over the education system, they took many of the overt religious statements out of Washington's farewell address. So make sure you don't read something that's been expunged and abridged that takes out his issues about morality and religion and so on. Read the unabridged version. Again, it's not that long, but it gives you a feeling. You know, foreign affairs, monetary policy, war, the idea of how we treat our fellow man. You know, all of these things are just unfolded in that really simple, straightforward counsel that he gave as he walked out the door, if you will, after being our president for 8 years. By the way, he really considered resigning during his first administration, the first 4 years. It was like, you know, these accoutrements of power, he didn't wear them well. Well, he wore them
well
in the
sense. They were abhorrent to him.
They were. But he didn't, I mean, when I say he didn't wear them well, yes, he wore them magnificently in the sense that he exercised them without becoming a tyrant. People knew he would never become a tyrant, but he never sought them. I gave a few examples in this chapter we just mentioned.
Hold on, I don't mean to interrupt, but not only did he never seek them, but he never even accepted them, meaning that it was unnecessary, but any chance he could get to get rid of them, he absolutely doubled down and did.
Instantly, when his duty was fulfilled, I mean, you look at the end of the Revolutionary War in the December time frame of 1783, after he waited until the Brits had withdrawn from New York and everything, and then He went and said goodbye to his men, and then he went, where'd he go? He went directly to Congress, and he handed over the, you know, his assignment as being the general of the Army. He had the only viable military force on the continent. So many would wear that and say, well, you know what, this feels pretty cool. They've talked about me being king, and oh my goodness, maybe I ought to hang on a little bit longer and make sure everything goes well, whatever. No, he handed it off. And he had so many times went into retirement because it was his desire to go back and be a farmer. You talk of him being a simple farmer, but he was a very intelligent farmer. He had a magnificent plantation that was well managed and cared for. But he had been away from it for 8 years while he was off in the Revolutionary trenches. But every time he got a chance, he handed the power away. The Newburgh Tavern issue. I mean, I review that extensively in my chapter on Washington's leadership, and he begged the men, do not do a coup d'etat, don't take over. They were planning it, and they were unmoved. And I'll just tell a little quick story. I know that maybe this is off a tangent a little bit, but he was begging, imploring, cajoling the men. Don't go down this path of taking military power in this nation and overthrowing the civilian leadership. They were unmoved. And then he took from his pocket a letter that he had received from one of the congressmen. He'd been working on trying to get some of the things resolved that the men were upset about. It was written, you know, in the small, cramped handwriting. The paper had to be used efficiently and everything. And he struggled to read it. You know, he was much younger than I am now, and he needed his reading spectacles to do it, and nobody but his closest aide-de-camps had ever seen him put spectacles on, and it was considered kind of a weakness. And so he apologized profusely as he took his spectacles out of his pocket to try and read words that he thought might soften the hearts of these men. And he made a comment that completely melted the attitude in the room. He says, I have grown gray in your service, and now I find myself growing blind. These men had seen him in their camps in the past 8 years. He had been with them. He had never gone home. He stayed with them through the winters. He saw their suffering. He knew what they had been through. He had experienced what they had done. And he had grown gray in their service, and now he was growing blind. And it was like, whoa, how can we do this to this man that has sacrificed so much for everything in the cause of liberty? And so when it came time for the Constitution Convention to happen in the summer of 1787, he was indispensable. People trusted him. They knew him. They loved him. And they knew that if he was there, he'd be watching their backs. And it was questionable until the very almost day of starting whether he was going to be there. But when he showed up, it was kind of like, we got a chance now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that the Savior Jesus Christ, obviously the greatest leader the world's ever known, no doubt about it, beyond dispute, I testify of the Savior Jesus Christ and his critical central role in history. But aside from that, what great leaders do you know? Do you know one better than George Washington? I challenge you to give me one. Hang tight.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The foundation Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the series is called To Preserve the Nation. In the tradition of the Founding Fathers, Scott N. Bradley, he's our co-host today. And ladies and gentlemen, this series of lectures is available in both DVD video format and in audio formats. And this study course requires both the book and the lecture presentations to be complete for you really to understand that all. Each chapter in the book correlates with a, quote, lecture in the series. And it's important to understand that. We're talking right now about chapter 15. We're trying to just give you a little bit of an insight into the work Dr. Bradley has put together to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com is where you can learn more. ScottNBradley.com is another place. But in chapter 15, George Washington, the elegant exercise of power. Now, again, I realize the Savior Jesus Christ is the ultimate leader. Nobody compares to that. I understand all that. But in mortal men, I don't know that you can find a better leader, a more humble blend of power, authority, intelligence, humility, simplicity, all these words. The guy was just a real leader, a man's man. And I don't know that you can find somebody to rival. Now, I'm not here to debate that there's no better leader forever. I'm just here to really highlight what we're talking about, the father of our nation. I don't believe in coincidences, Doctor, and I believe that he was put there by God. This is the order of things we speak of, put there by God for a reason, because he was very unique in his time, to say the least. A rare study in reality, right?
Yes, I do believe.
Oh, good. I'm here. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, you didn't lose me. I do believe God raises up what is needful at the time when the people are ready. I'm not sure that the people today are ready. I think we must ready ourselves. I think that we ourselves are living far below what our standard should be. But in the case of George Washington, in the case of so many of those that lived in his era and the founding of this nation, I believe God raised up the finest men that were on the earth at that time. They came across the stage at a time that was unique in all of history. All revolutions are not created equal. And those men fulfilled those assignments. I would challenge anyone today to find a group of men, even a handful of men, that even can be worthy to stand in their shadows. I mean, that's how I feel this has been. It was a nexus, if you will, in the whole mortal existence. And so George Washington was that leader of men. Others fulfilled really divine roles also. And when we do stupid things, like to want to rewrite our Constitution and so on, none of these men will be there. We have people, the only people that will be there will be the people that have got us in the mess we're in today. And so, absolutely, I do believe in that divinity, of the hand of divinity that brings these things about. And George Washington just happened to be that one that was handed power, and he accepted it reluctantly, again, as we've said. He handed it back instantly in every circumstance that it came into his hands. And so few individuals do that. You look at what Daniel Defoe said in 1701, all men would be tyrants if they could. You look at what Lord Acton said in 1887, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. It didn't. George Washington was incorruptible in those issues of power. And someday, somehow, if we can become worthy again, I guess, perhaps God will raise up individuals that may lead us in righteousness again. But we have abandoned that. We have so far abandoned what a gift God has given us in this magnificent Constitution and the land of liberty and our prosperity and peace and the principles of eternal truth that have been revealed on this land. It's just simply not even. We have become unworthy recipients of something that was given to us at such great cost, and we're squandering it. Now, there's probably people under the sound of our voice that truly do love God and Christ, that truly do love our liberty, that truly do love the principles, the eternal principles of proper government. And so I don't want to make
and
this,
by the way, part of the reason for this broadcast not only is to articulate this view, this godly view of who we are, of our origins, of our history, etc., but it's about finding those people who have that love in their hearts. I don't have any desire to speak to the 330 million Americans. I don't have any desire to speak to the 8 billion in the world. I do have a desire to share this message with those who are seeking for something, those who want to know where they came from, why they're here, where they're going, those who want to understand how to bring back liberty and reject tyranny, those who want to preserve the nation and the traditions of our founding fathers. Okay, God raised up wise men for the very purpose of writing the Constitution of the United States. There's order in these things. Our founders knew it. There's order in the universe. Our founders knew it. Do you know it? Okay. I want to highlight this by giving you a comparison that's in modern day news today. Naomi Judd died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, daughter Ashley says. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Naomi Judd had been raised with God at the center of her home, with a loving father and a mother who believed in God and taught her of God and Christ, taught her of God, family, and country, helped her understand that she was literally the offspring of God. That's what the Bible says. And that she had a heavenly father who loved her, who cared for her. Now, I don't know if she would have taken her own life or not. Again, I don't know what drives people to that. What I know, though, is this. We need to understand who we are. We need to preserve that tie. And then we need to, basically realizing our godly heritage, then behave as godly children. We need to understand that Christ died on the cross to deal with all of our physical and mental challenges that we struggle with. And so, I highlight this because the world just says, oh, man, poor girl, just bad mental health. She should have been on some meds and not committed suicide or whatever. I understand all that, and I don't mean to make light of this at all, but I do believe that if we were to turn to God, if we were raised in godly homes, if we understood our godly heritage, and if we understood our American heritage, and we really truly felt the spirit of it, understood the history of it, realized the significance of it, you wonder if the tide would be different. And why do I bring this up? She's already lost her life. It's something that's already done. We can't change it. We can pray for her family. But we can also, though, encourage others to tie into this sacred heritage that we all have in an effort to help people realize that there is purpose to their lives. There are reasons to live. This is a critical issue today that we face, and I believe we're looking everywhere but for the right answers, Doctor.
Well, you talk about one celebrity instance of a tragic ending, and everything you say is true about that. And I don't know her family circumstances or anything like that, but to have that kind of despair settle upon individuals. And a lot of times, I honestly, as I hear these commercials for these mind-altering drugs that people say, oh, yeah, if you're depressed, take this. You're going to get more depressed. You'll become suicidal. You may be homicidal. You may have great, you know, kidney failure or whatever. I mean, you say, this is FDA-approved, people. But anyway, that's another topic. But there is so much of that that's going on today that I believe that many of the times these things are actually precipitated by the meds that are given. And again, we go back to that little girl at church last Sunday. Beautiful little girl, a whole life in front of her. There's something of despair in her heart, and I believe that really what has happened is all the OA Nadolphals have collapsed on her and called across America. I mean, you look at what has happened the last 2+ years when basically all hope was removed. See, you know, I'm old enough to say I have a perspective. I saw the before and I've seen the after and I've been in the middle. And it's like, you know what? There's more to this than what they're feeding us every day. You know, if you listen to the lame brain media and the politicians and the media that are in the celebrity ranks, you know, they're spiritual derelicts, virtually every single one of them. And not a one of them that is promoting this kind of drivel has really got an insight as to what this is all about. And all they can keep telling us is we're all going to die. It's going to be horrid. Oh, my goodness, another pandemic's going to unfold upon us. And what are these and it's not just kids. I see mothers and fathers that should know better but don't, apparently, in their 40s and even 50s, and they're becoming grandparents. They don't have a message of hope that they're bringing. I think we need to renew that message of hope and understanding that the purpose of life is far different than what we have been fed in these indoctrination centers that we put kids on buses and send them off to. Get your kids out of that cesspool. If your kids were out playing in a septic tank that had opened up, what would you do? You'd go pull them out of it, wash them off. I mean, if you came on a toxic waste dump and the sewage and the chemicals and the stench and the acidic waste, whatever was there, what would you do to protect your kids from that? And, you know, I'm just astonished at parents that say, oh, yeah, that's happening at the high school across town. But our high school, oh, my goodness, it's so, no, it's everywhere. There are good individuals that try and do the best they can, but their hands are tied by a program that says you can't. And by the way, the program has even become more septic. The ideas of gender dysphobia, I mean, holy cow. I mean, this confusion that's happening, the idea that God doesn't exist and it's we're all in this in a leaky boat, we're all going to sink, that's just epidemic. When I was a kid, at least, we had prayer every morning in school.
And that's why I tie this together, ladies and gentlemen, because there are solutions. It is time for the nation to be taught about and get a new view. It is about God, family, and country. It is about your godly and your American heritage. You have a Father in heaven, God Almighty, who loves you. You're his creation. You're his child. You're his son or daughter. Don't misunderstand that. You have a godly heritage. George Washington set an incredible standard. He gave warnings in his farewell address. He gave us guidance. We ought to heed that. We ought to turn to that. We understand these things, and pretty soon things are looking better. Things are looking brighter. You know what? We're the ones that run around, ladies and gentlemen, and say we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration because we have the solutions. It's to return to the traditions of our founding fathers. Okay, we say this nation shall endure because we believe in George Washington's great vision. We do win in the end. God is on our side. He is our protector. And ladies and gentlemen, for Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, freedomrisingsun.com, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brightyonradio.com, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. We have a role to play. Will you get involved?